Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. What happens when real living people pick up the phone and call this podcast? Do they find peace from a haunting situation? Do they verbally tell the spirits that they know just what they are up to? Or can telling the world about their ghosts make the haunting stop? We ask the question and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. If you like the show, want access to all of our bonus episodes and no commercials in the show, you can binge away ad-free, get access to all of our episodes ever created. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Then check out ghostpodcast.com or our Patreon page, patreon.com/realghoststories. There you'll get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. The EPP bonus episodes, some of our scariest stories, we give them to you every single week and only for our EPPs, extra podcast people. Sign up to be one now. It's only $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, I just had a big science test at school.
And?
Lots of charts.
Lots of charts. How do you feel you did with lots of charts?
Good.
Really?
Quite easy.
Okay. I was never great. I found science interesting, but I was never good at, I'm not good at remembering things. And a lot of school and tests are, remember this specific thing. And that, like, you haven't, have you learned about the periodic table of elements yet?
We have it in our dictionary.
You know what it is.
Yes.
But you haven't, like, been studying it. That's usually, no. That's usually more like junior high-ish area.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Jinx, buy me a goat. Also, do you remember my podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Cautionary Tales?
Yes.
Well, what if I told you that I'm bringing it back this summer?
That would be awesome.
Y'all ready?
I think I'm ready, yeah. And you're working on putting it together this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this will be exciting. So it's Cautionary Tales 2.0. It's almost like, it'd be like almost 2 years since you did it.
Yeah.
And you're a lot older now. And, you know, I always said, let's bring it back when you can read better. And you can do that now. So I think that'll be awesome. Cool. So be listening here. We'll let you know when that comes back this summer. There's a lot of people that it still gets downloaded every day. So
wow.
Yeah. If you want to subscribe to it, just look up Cautionary Tales with Harper, wherever you download podcasts. And then when a new one is released, you'll get it. Boom. Just like that.
Yeah.
So,
boom, boom, boom.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We're going to go over to calls on today's episode.
Ooh.
It's going to be open lines day and just kind of dive through a whole bunch of phone calls. And like I said, you can call 24/7 at 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
This is Erin in Northwest Arkansas, and I was just calling back to let you all know some of the stories that I've had since living in this area. Now, I'm one of those people where every single house I've ever lived in has been haunted, and the only conclusion I can come from that is that it's not the houses that are haunted, but it's me. And things really started ramping up when we moved to Northwest Arkansas. So in 1996, I was 13 years old, about to start 8th grade. My dad retired from the military, and we moved to Rogers to be closer to his family. And as soon as we started moving into this house, we started having experiences. And looking back, there are three different types of things that really layered on to the haunting of this particular house. Now, the house that we moved into was a 1970s ranch style home that was recently remodeled at the time, and it was pretty nice and it had a pool, but it didn't take long before we started experiencing things. The first major thing that we noticed in the house was the ghost of our dead cat. So prior to us leaving Louisiana, my favorite cat was hit by a car, and it just absolutely devastated me. It was the first time I had ever truly lost a pet. And within the first few nights of us living in this house, I would feel her jump up on my bed. I could feel the weight of her paws walking around until she came up by my head. I could feel her almost curl up in a ball beside me, and then I would hear her purring. And she would purr until I'd fall asleep. And this happened night after night for the first several months that we lived there. And it didn't take very long from the first time this happened before I went and told my parents about it, and they confirmed that they had also been experiencing the same thing. So the second thing that started happening in this house was just, again, feeling uneasy, like somebody was there. I always felt like somebody was in the room, and it almost seemed like you could hear somebody walking around and following you. At night, when I would lay down and go to sleep, I would start to feel my bed kind of bump, like not too severe, but enough to notice that something was touching it. And then eventually it would increase to feeling like somebody was sitting on the bed. It wasn't threatening, but it just felt like it was somebody who really didn't belong there and it was invading your personal space. Now, when I was in probably ninth grade, I used to listen to a song every night before I'd go to sleep on a CD. And I had a remote control, so I would turn on the CD player from my bed, and I'd listen to the song, and I would turn it off, and then I'd go to sleep. Well, one night, I grabbed the remote, and before I could even hit the button to press play, my stereo came on by itself. It went to the specific CD that I always played, and it played the exact song. Now, this wasn't a programmable stereo, so I had no idea how that happened. But I listened to the song, and the stereo shut off when it was done by itself without me pushing the button. And I tried not to freak out, but I was definitely on edge at this point. And I turned my back towards my stereo and tried to go to sleep. And when I did, I felt something, that same something, sit down on my bed. And then I felt a hand touch my back. This freaked me out so badly, but in that moment, I was paralyzed from fear, and I wasn't able to get up and run to my parents like I would in the past. So I just laid there till eventually I fell asleep. Thankfully, that was the only time that I really had that type of physical experience in that house. And then that leaves us with the poltergeist activity. Now, things took off pretty quickly when we first moved in. I remember laying in my bed watching ceiling fans start working without the light switches actually being turned on to operate the fan, and TVs turning on and off when I would go in and out of bedrooms or the living room. And I can remember watching a child safety lock lid on a pill bottle just start slowly spinning by itself on the bottle in the middle of the counter without anybody around it. But it eventually grew a little bit more noticeable. And there are three experiences that really stand out in my mind. Now, the first one, I was in high school, and I was about to go to bed, and right as I closed my eyes, I heard what sounded like the entire contents of my closet just crashing to the ground. And I got up and I switched on the light, fully expecting to see the shelves caved in and all of my clothes on the floor. And when I looked in the closet, everything was fine. Nothing was touched. And it just really was a bizarre experience. The next experience that really stands out in my mind was I was working on homework with a friend of mine, and we were trying to figure out a math problem, and we're on the phone, and I got super frustrated and took the piece of paper I was working on and just wadded it up and threw it across the room. Well, when I got off the phone with my friend, I walked over to my dresser and put my phone on top of it, and as soon as I turned around, that piece of paper that was across the room flew up and hit me square in the face. Now, the ceiling fan wasn't running. None of my siblings were in the room. I was by myself. And there's no explanation how that piece of paper flew up from the floor and across the room for about 10 to 12 feet to nail me in the face. So I remember that time running and screaming to my mom because it freaked me out so badly. And then the last major poltergeist experience that I can remember in that house was the summer before my senior year of high school. I was on the dance team, and I was also working at our local swimming pool as a lifeguard. And at that time, I didn't have my own checking account or bank account to deposit my checks, so I would cash them out, and then I would store them in this billfold that I would keep hidden up on a shelf in my bedroom underneath a doll. Now, one morning before I was to get up to go to dance practice, I woke up a little before my alarm clock, and I felt something crunchy underneath me. And for the life of me, I could not figure out what that feeling was. So I turned on the light, and underneath the entire shape of my body was money. Just bills everywhere. And it went from my head down to my toes. And I started freaking out, and the only logical explanation that I had in that moment was that my parents put it there. I don't know why my 17-year-old brain thought that, but that was the only thing that made sense. So I went barging into their room and started yelling at them, "Why did you put that money in my bed?" Well, they were both dead asleep and confused as heck, but eventually got up and came into the room to check things out. Now, looking back, as a teenager, I was a total slob, and I don't know how anybody could have gotten across that room without breaking their neck in the middle of the night to pull a prank on me. But my dad checked the windows and checked around and didn't see anything out of place. And my mom started counting up the money that was in my bed, and she asked me to get my wallet. Well, at this time, I remembered I had over $400 in my wallet, and there was $365 in 5s, 10s, and 20s, and the rest were in 1s. So I get my wallet, and I open it up, and the only thing left in my wallet are $1 bills. And as my mom finishes counting up the money that was in my bed, she counted $365 in 5s, 10s, and 20s. And to this day, I have no idea how that happened. My siblings were too young at the time, didn't care enough to pull any kind of pranks like that. And it's just something that I've never been able to explain. So those are some of my few first stories here in Northwest Arkansas. I have a ton more and hope to be calling them in soon. In the meantime, y'all take care.
Thanks for sharing your story with us.
Wow, that really went from your dead cat that's trying to comfort you to something demonic that's wanting to give you giant paper cuts.
I don't know that it's... Is it demonic? Why do you think it's demonic?
It flew a giant piece of paper into her face.
Mm-hmm.
And with the whole closet thing, I almost kind of think that it was trying to like almost lure you over there for some sort of reason.
Yeah. I like ghosts that give money. That's...
Oh, but it wasn't giving money.
What do you mean?
It took the money out of her wallet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not giving money.
That's true. I want a ghost that gives money. I don't like a ghost that's like an ATM. Or something of that. That would be very nice. You know, it's like,
you could
hey,
have the ghost of Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, that there you go. That would be awesome. That would be that'd be really exciting. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Hi.
This is Allie from Philadelphia. I had called earlier a couple weeks back about my story where my poppy visited both my mom and my dad in their dream. And I don't think I said my name before that one, so I'm just calling again. Thank you for playing my show on the air. And I wanted to call with probably my most profound story that happened to me personally. So when I was younger, I think I was way more sensitive than I am now, which just seems common. But even when I was younger, I didn't know what that meant, which again, I think is the case for a lot of kids. You don't really know what you're seeing. But, so backtrack, before I was born, my great-grandmother gave my mom a St. Jude pennant before she had died. So she was sick, it was closing to the end, and Again, I wasn't born yet. My parents weren't even married yet. And she gave my mom a St. Jude just pendant that was really, really important to her. So I know you guys don't really necessarily talk too much about religion in your podcast, but I think that I want to hear your opinion as far as, I think a lot of similarities go across a lot of different religions, and you know, what could be one thing in one religion is actually the same thing in another, and there's just a lot of similarities that should be recognized, and you know, things are more similar than they are different kind of situation. I'm curious as to hear what you guys say about this. So she gave my mom that pendant, years went by. My great grandmother unfortunately passed away, and then when I was born, I had a lot of complications. When I was born, my lungs were completely filled with fluid. I could not breathe. I was rushed away as soon as I was delivered to the NICU, the Native Intensive Care Unit. Natal Intensive Care Unit. Sorry. The doctor had told my parents that it's going to be a couple weeks at least by the time they get tests done, different treatments, things like that. It would be at least a week, or at least a couple weeks before they could see the next steps. But they made it clear that it was something that they really needed to be serious about. So my parents, not prepared for that, were very devastated and didn't want to leave the hospital, but obviously came time that they had to leave. So before my mom did, she got that St. Jude pendant and put it on my incubator in the NICU. And just as a safety, looking out for me type of thing. The next morning, my mom will never forget the call that she got from the doctor saying that he could not explain what had happened, but I was completely healed. Not one trace of any sickness in my lungs. My lungs were completely healthy. It was, the doctor was speechless pretty much and told my mom, you know, you can come and get your daughter. I can't explain what happened. So of course my parents were really, really happy about it and went and got me. So, that's like my little St. Jude story. But years went by. I was 6 years old, and I used to hear a lot of things in my old house outside of Philadelphia. It was like over 100 years old. And really small, just, I had a back bedroom that I always felt was creepier and everything. But in my back bedroom, I had a door that led to the kitchen, and then kind of perpendicular to that door, or on the perpendicular wall, was another door that led to my brother's room. So you could literally walk through the kitchen, through my bedroom, into my brother's rooms. So one night I woke up, and I remember just sitting up, and my bedroom door to my kitchen was open. And this white light, I'm getting goosebumps right now. I don't tell a lot of people this story just because, I was younger and I kind of questioned sometimes, but, like how much, you know, as a kid I exaggerated maybe, but I can still distinctly see this, what happened. So I sat up, and I remember I was 6 years old. I was in first grade, and the white light went from the kitchen towards my bedroom, and there was a man dressed completely in white robes, dark hair, like dark brown hair, and he walked through my room, turned towards my brother's room, looked at me, just was passing through almost like he was watching over me just to like make sure I was still okay, and he walked out. And I remember being a kid, obviously it sounds very peaceful, but I mean still scary, but I pulled my covers over my head, and I remember just being so freaked out that, you know, what did I just see. And I remember thinking like, I'm afraid to pull my covers over my head, because what if his face is right there, or like, you know, I wasn't necessarily scared of the person I saw, just the fact that I was seeing something. I just didn't want to pull the covers over my pull the covers down and see him again. So finally I was, you know, at that age where I wanted to be with my parents if I was scared. So after probably like 20 minutes or so, I remember I couldn't fall back asleep with the covers over my head. I peeked out and I didn't see anything. And I ran to my parents' room the next day. I remember telling people at kids at school, but obviously, you know, that kids don't understand. I didn't understand. And I was just like, I saw a man, like a ghost last night. And I was a lot more into it when I was a kid, just like, what was that kind of thing? But again, like, I didn't really put it together that, you know, that was something that not a lot of people see. That, like, being a sensitive, if you want to say that, as a kid, like, isn't common. But I was just very like, okay, I saw that. That was interesting. So, yeah, I, you know, St. Jude's someone that I think I, whether it's just a guardian angel or anything like just some positive energy that looks over me. And I'm even to this day, you know, I think about that a lot and feel very grateful. But I just want to hear your guys' opinion on that. You know, if you've heard any other stories similar to that or anything, or if any other listeners have anything very similar to that, I have yet to hear. I've heard some, like, you know, guardian angel stories, but it really boggles my mind that it's such a, I want to say an angel in a way that visited me, but I don't know. I don't know if that's what you want to call it, or I don't know. I really want to hear your guys' opinion on it. And if any other listeners have any opinions or similar experiences, that'd be really awesome to hear. So I hope you guys have a great day, and thank you for having such an amazing podcast. And I hope I hear this on the air. Thank you.
Thoughts?
Well, the baby lung.
This is Allie.
Oops, go ahead.
Okay. The baby lung thing is interesting.
How so?
Because, you know, you would think, like, if it had already been healed up, you'd still have a little more recovery
mm-hmm.
to do with, like, the outer lung
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Harper, by the way, is a lung surgeon.
No, I'm not.
She's been learning how to do that. She's like Doogie Howser.
No, I'm not. At this point, I'm just making a guess.
Okay.
Just like bruises leave, well, cuts leave scars.
Sure.
Not all the time, but it can happen. Mm-hmm. But for it to be healed up that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I she's asking, you know, is it an angel? Is it a this or that? I don't know. What, I don't think any of us know what it is, but it seems like something intervened there. In a positive way.
Yeah.
Whether that's a loved one, whether that's an angel, whether they'll call it whatever you want, but there's some sort of positive force there that seemed to, you know, come in when it was needed.
Very positive.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi. This is Heather from Kentucky. I called numerous times in regards to my daughter and their abilities, both of them, being different. But as of late, my daughter started to have more dreams that she says she can't talk to me about, not because she's being told not to be telling me the dreams, but because she knows she shouldn't. It's just kind of an unspoken word between, for those who do not know, a lady who passed multiple years ago that my husband had went to school with and didn't really know, comes and visits her in her dreams and tells her the future. So some of the things that she's been recently telling her, I have not been privy to, because I will ask occasionally, like, oh, you know, how'd you sleep last night? Because she has trouble sleeping. And she'll say, you know, I had a dream last night. It, you know, I can't really talk about it, which means it's, you know, not a great dream. Or it's something minute that if it's something going to happen, I couldn't change it even if I wanted to. So I'm driving right now to go say my final goodbyes to my uncle. And Lillian has had multiple of these dreams lately that she cannot let me know about. not because the lady who comes and tells her not to tell me, but because she feels like there's no point of putting that burden on anyone because you can't change things. And she's like, you know, I pray for strength, and I know, she's like, I can always be wrong because I'm not God. So last night, my sister was with my uncle, who they ended up having to, they were going to fly out, but the conditions were not correct for them to fly him out of our local hospital, so they had to take him by ambulance. It wasn't looking good. And he actually coded in the middle of the night. Around about the time he coded, my phone, which I always utilize as an alarm clock, or I'll use the Alexa as an alarm clock and it's connected to it. But anyway, the phone, where it normally sits on the nightstand, was in the floor, turned upside down, and I wish I had turned it over and paid closer attention, but something kind of woke me up, jarred me, like jarred the bed first, and then I saw a light emulating from the side of my bed in the floor, which turned out was my phone, and then it was like blaring, I guess, a television show of some sort. I'm not sure what it was. What was going on. I was just trying to get it to stop because I didn't want it to wake my husband up. I do know it was before 3 o'clock because he sets his alarm. He has to go into work super early. So he sets his alarm for a little after 3, but he always gets up before it goes off. And I know I laid there for some time after I finally realized what happened. I laid there for some time. So I'm thinking it happened around the 2:30 mark. And so when my sister called me this morning to say, hey, I didn't want to call you last night because he coded and it took him 40 minutes to revive him. So he was clinically dead for 40 minutes. And I was like, well, around what time was that? And she was like, I would guess sometime around, she said, I can get a definite time, but I would guess sometime around 2 or 2:30. And I wish I had, it was like, I don't, it was, the show was like a, the music wasn't like, it was music on the show, I remember that, because the beat was really loud, and I was trying to turn it off by utilizing the side of my phone and turning it down, because it was face down, so I couldn't see, but it was almost like this, I don't know. I know it's going to sound crazy because it's not something I, it's not like, it's not that I'm against it. We sang old timey hymns in the church that I attend, and that's, you know, whatever. But this was more like a, it was like a bluegrass, gospel-y hymn type music. Because after I laid there, I thought, that song was so familiar. That song was so familiar. How do, you know, and then the more I thought about it, the more I lost the memory. And I just couldn't figure out where I'd heard it before or what it was. And I wonder if it were him coming to say, you know, I'm not sure. I'm headed on my way now, like I said, to, you know, things may change, turn around. If they're not God, they may be able to do some kind of life-saving last-minute. But I'm on my way now to the hospital to be with him. But I wonder if he was not already with me and my family last night. I appreciate everything you guys do, and thank you for allowing me to have this as an outlet to speak on my experiences and experiences of the ones I love. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. It'd be really interesting if she would have been able to pick out what that song specifically was.
Yeah.
To see if there was some sort of connection with him. And I, we've heard a lot of stories where someone who's not really passed yet, but has, you know, is kind of in that state where it's kind of coming and going, and they're towards the end, where their spirit, their energy, whatever you want to call it, starts to show up to the loved ones while they are in that state. The living haunting the living, if you will.
What does coded mean?
It means they're dying. It means that, like, they stopped breathing, their heart stopped.
Oh.
And then they were... So be really, it's a near-death experience.
Oh.
But someone who's in that state that's maybe in hospice-type care, that can happen sometimes. And then sometimes, even if not in hospice care, you're just in whatever's going on, that can happen. Doesn't mean you're officially dead. It means they're coding, and then that's where all the hospital staff jump in and try and revive the individual. So that's what that is like. So if I ever haunt the crap out of you and there's like songs playing that are completely random.
I'm going to guess it's going to be like Neo Radio.
It'd be this. No.
Okay.
I think if...
Snoop Dogg.
No, this is Michael McDonald. Sweet Freedom.
Oh, Michael McDonald.
Yeah. Suddenly you hear this. You're like, well, Dad's dead.
Well, I hope we don't get a copyright claim.
Now, what was the song we were singing when I was being wheeled to get when my appendix burst?
Ride Like the Wind.
Yeah, Ride Like the Wind. That's the song. So when my appendix burst, you were like 3, 4-ish,
right? Oh, yeah, around there. I still remember it to this day.
And it was scary. And I was scared, but I just didn't want to be scared. So I just wanted to try and keep you calm. And as they were wheeling me, she was like standing by my head and walking with me. I was holding her hand the whole time. And we started singing this together in the hospital as I was being wheeled off to surgery. And we were literally going like, yep. I was like, and then I think you were doing the, and I got such a long way to go. It was like, let's ride, ride like the wind. And then like little Harper's like, and I got such a long way to go. And they're like, laugh. They're like, what are you doing? Like, we're good. Even in
near-death experiences. Oh,
almost near death. I mean, they're like, when your appendix bursts, that can be really bad. And they didn't even know it burst until they opened me up. And then they discovered that. And I was in the hospital for a few days. But yeah, that was what we did.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a Cracker Barrel near the hospital?
There's a Cracker Barrel somewhere in that town. Yeah, I don't know.
I know, but it was like really near the hospital, I remember.
Why? Did you go to Cracker Barrel after they wheeled me off?
Me and Mom did, weirdly. Okay.
Well, you needed to eat, because I think it was pretty late, though, wasn't it?
It really was.
Did you go to a late-night Cracker Barrel? Or was that a different day?
It was a late-night Cracker Barrel.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, it's not near that hospital, but it's in that town, and that town's not that big.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Branson. But, yeah, so I'll haunt you with Michael McDonald songs at random. So,
okay.
Just be ready.
I'll sing along.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.